She tried to stay upright, but eventually ended up on the ground. So the ball back to Ellsworth. 38-25, Altoona leads though. Altoona lost their top three scores from a 18-8 team a year ago. They're going to be a work in progress this year, but looking to get some early season wins. Missed opportunity for Ellsworth the other way. Here comes Altoona right to left. Left corner three off the mark by Brasina for Altoona. And Ellsworth the basketball again. Between the wheels. Stoltenberg, and before she can drive, a foul away from the ball, a blocking foul on Altoona away from the ball. That'll be just the third team foul on Altoona. Now the official is going to get together and talk for a moment. And they're going to give it to Duquesne, the junior, the foul. That's her third. So Duquesne will check out, and Lima will come back in. Ball flung back into midcourt. Leaping catch by Maher for Ellsworth. Got it to the right wing for a three for Alexis Marks, and Marks hits it. So Marks hits a three, cuts the lead down to 10 for Ellsworth. Lead down to 10 for Altoona, I should say. Deficit's at 10 for Ellsworth. Altoona led 17-15 at the break. That's it. And Ellsworth, out of the dressing room in the second half, took a 19-17 lead. But then Altoona went on a 14-0 spurt. Pretty much doubled their point total in about a four-minute span and have not looked back. And this will only add to it as Braylon Seiberling buries a three from the left side. 41-28 in favor of Altoona. All of a sudden, they've got 41 points in this game as Morgan Halverson bully balls her way at the left block for Ellsworth and scores off the window. But all of a sudden, you look at the scoreboard and you'd say Altoona hasn't had any trouble scoring tonight. It's a matter of them finding a rhythm in the second half, and it's similar to what happened the last night up at Rice Lake where they found a rhythm in the second half. So early on, Derek, it looks like they might be developing a characteristic of being a second-half team. Addie Seiberling's three, left wing for Altoona, horseshoes out, offensive rebound by Lima for Altoona, and she got pushed as she went for the rebound. That'll be the fourth foul as a team on Ellsworth, second personal on Halverson.
And yeah, this team becoming more of a second half team is not necessarily a bad thing. Like, yet playing in the second half is not always something you want, but it's if it works, it works.
Braylon Seiberling, right corner contested three for Altoona is an air ball, and the ball back to Ellsworth. Here's the thing, though. You want to be a strong second-half team, but you don't want to get yourself too buried in the first half. And you saw that in their first conference game when they were down 23-8 to Baldwin-Woodville. And tonight, the low scoring in the first half, they were able to recover from. They were able to keep their heads above water because this Ellsworth team doesn't have any offense to speak of either. So that's one thing Altoona's going to want to figure out sooner rather than later is how can they get some points in the first half. But let's also not overlook the defense. Now, while Ellsworth is not scoring, it's not like Altoona's played bad defensively either. A three from the left wing is off the mark for Alexis Marks of Ellsworth. Ball back to Altoona with 5:30 to go in regulation. All Altoona now up 41-30. Many of these Altoona players had all that success in the fall, part of that volleyball team that went deep in the playoffs. And as Addie Seiberling for Altoona's fouled out beyond the arc, another non-shooting foul here. And as Michelle Poplinski happily said, you know, it wasn't like a lot of these players had a chance to do basketball drills right away because they were tied up with volleyball, but the drawback is drowned by all the positives playing multiple sports. And eventually, there are other things that carry over from volleyball to help you out on the basketball court, namely just hand-eye coordination, working different muscles, cardiovascular. Derek, you know there's a lot of benefits to playing multiple sports.
Yes, there's plenty of benefits to just look at me. I play baseball, hockey, and I used to play soccer. And I found numerous ways all those sports interlock with each other.
Well, let's also not overlook the fact that a lot of these athletes are teammates with each other in volleyball as well. So, you have that chemistry that can develop away from, say, the basketball 5-on-5. Altoona basketball along the baseline. Emma Lima, she was trying to find Burgo on the baseline with a pass. It is deflected out of bounds. It'll stay. Altoona ball. Duquesne throws it in underneath the hoop. Ball hits off fingertips, but collected beyond the arc by Addie Saverling. Gets it left corner to Duquesne for three. Bottoms! Lily Duquesne hits the three, and Altoona leads 44-30 with 4:20 left in the second half. All Altoona now up by 14 points, which matches a game high. Halverson, high out right for Ellsworth. Left hand dribble into the lane. Floater with the right hand is good. Halverson leads Ellsworth with 12 points in the game. She's got 12. Addie Siverling has 13 to lead all scores for Altoona. Timeout taken by Altoona with 3:57 left to go in regulation. All Altoona, they're up 44-32, and Altoona has the ball when we come out from the other side of this break on 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Join the area's newsmakers and learn more about what is happening in our town, all while enjoying a beer with the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. Each week, Jerry Keel from Northwestern Bank brings on guests to learn more about what is happening in our region, and along the way, they try some delicious beers. It's the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com.
Final 3:57 of this one. It's all Altoona. They lead 44-32. Scott Montesano and Derek Montesano with you on this Tuesday night. Hey, welcome into the holiday season. A little dusting of snow on the ground, the holiday lights flickering across the Chippewa Valley. And we're very much into the winter sports season. Altoona leading this one and trying to land this one for a comfortable win. Altoona out of the timeout, though, is going to turn the ball. Oh, no, they said it was deflected. I thought we were going to get it over and back. Altoona has the ball. High out of the left. There's Braylon Siverling to Duquesne out between the wheels. And a pass to the far side, knocked out of bounds into the Altoona student section. Yeah, we got the lights flickering outside. The lights always shine a little brighter. The gingerbread cookies are always a little bit more gingery when you got a little snow on the ground at this time of the year. And again, very much into the winter sports season. Conference games now underway. Oh, good feed here underneath for Altoona. They find Emma Lima underneath, and she'll score. Little zigzag pattern there. High out right, past the left block, and then to the right block to Lima. Lima was there open to score. It's 46-32 in favor of Altoona. 10-foot jumper off the mark for Maher for Ellsworth. Ball back to Altoona. Altoona the ball as they come right to left. Addie Siverling slaloming her way all the way through, and Addie Siverling scores on the layup. She's got 15 points, and Altoona up 48-32. They've scored 31 points in this second half. Hard to believe they were once down 19-17 a couple minutes into this second half. As the runner won't go for Ellsworth, a rebound here to Addie Siverling for Altoona, and Altoona has the ball. Addie Siverling, player that no doubt Michelle Poplinski really needs to step up early in the year. She's one of the only players that had significant minutes and produced last year for this Altoona team that graduated so much from an 18-win team a year ago. Foul called on Ellsworth. A non-shooting foul. That's That was their seventh foul, and there was a little confusion here. That should be a one-and-one situation. That will be after a little consultation there, everybody realizing. Abreu and Cyberling will go to the line, shooting a one-and-one. Fourth personal foul, by the way, on Morgan Halverson of Ellsworth. Braylon Cyberling bends the knees, right-hand shot, splashes it in. 49-32, Altoona with 2:13 left to go.
Well, the simple fact for Altoona is they just started to constantly make shots, and that includes three-pointers, which they attempted a lot of in the second half. So that's what's really helped them in this second half.
Braylon Cyberling made both free throws. It's a 50-32 lead for Altoona. What are they shooting three-pointers in the second half, Derek? As Ellsworth hits a three of their own. Well, three is good there by Olivia Maher. 50-35, Altoona leads.
Well, as far as made free throws, they've...
Three-pointers.
Three-pointers. They've had five successful and have missed seven.
Well, think about this. Here's Braylon Cyberling cutting her way on through and squirts up a shot and scores off the glass. Braylon Cyberling up to 11 points, 52-35, 90 seconds to go. So they've made 5 3-pointers in this second half. Has Altoona 15 points in this second half coming on 3-pointers after they did not make one in the first half. And this is a team that really struggled even last year to make threes. Altoona's going to call a timeout as the ball's in midcourt, so Altoona will call time. We'll keep it here, 1:10 left to go. Altoona leading 52-35. And Altoona, if the game were to end like this, would have gone on a 35-16 run. Think about that, a 35-16 run in this second half to pull away.
Yeah, that is just insane to think about. The fact that this game was neck and neck, it was a low-scoring rock fight at the half, and Ellsworth had taken a 19-17 lead just into the second half. And to think we've gotten to this point, 52-35, with a minute 10 to go. I would have not thought this some 20 minutes ago.
Game has gone by in the length of a cat's nap. A very short game here tonight, which only means we get to go back outside into the cold winter a lot sooner than one would have thought.
Yeah.
It is most definitely three-layer jacket weather. Altoona ball coming out of the timeout. They get a pass to the right block to Callie Plannert, who's into the game. And Kelly Plannert, the junior, will get on the scoring sheet as she scores. It's 54-35, Altoona, final minute of the second half. Close range shot for Ellsworth won't go. And then a putback attempt won't fall either for Alexis Marks for Ellsworth, but they're going to get a foul here on Altoona. Non-shooting foul. Adeline Hansen, a senior who's checked into the game, call for the foul. Ellsworth ball, high out right of three, grazes the rim for Alexis Marks. No, long rebound out the midcourt. Marks gets it back for Ellsworth. Top of the key, thought about a three, but Braylon Cyberling was right there to shut the door. Right wing three on the way and good by Morgan Halverson of Ellsworth. Cuts the lead to 54-37. Final 30 seconds of this one. Altoona more than content to pass the ball around a little bit here and milk off the clock. They get it open, though, for a three on the way. No by Bria Kleinsmith. Rebound the deck is dug out by Alexis Marks. She'll dribble up the floor. Final 10 seconds here as we play for statistical purposes only. Marks, top of the key, picks up the dribble, gets it left side. A desperation three is off the mark. Goes out of bounds as the buzzer will sound. And that'll do it. That's the ball game. Happy handshake time for the Altoona Railroaders, who win this one by a final score of 54-37. And Altoona is in the win column in the Middle Borders Conference. Michelle Poplinski's team will improve to 1-1 in Middle Borders Conference play. And after that sluggish first half, what a second half offensively for Altoona with five made three-pointers. We'll step aside. We'll come back. We've got final numbers and stats for you and put this game into a neat little package right after this. You're listening to Eau Claire Area High School Basketball coverage from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Stay tuned for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game and a look at the final stats.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's time for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game. Let's get back to the gym and Scott Montesano.
With the way the first half went, the second half was an utter shocker as Altoona defeats Ellsworth 54-37. Altoona led 17-15 at the break. That was it. You pretty much needed a peach basket and ladders in the first half. In the second half, Altoona finds the range from long distance. They hit 5 3-pointers. Addie Siverling got really, really hot. She was like the griddle side of a pancake as she was hot in that second half. And Altoona pulls away in this one, winning 54-37 to earn their first Middle Border Conference win of the season.
Yeah, it's just a great win for Altoona. They pulled away right after falling behind in the second half and did not look back after that.
And again, scoring is contagious, and when you start scoring, everybody feels good. Everybody loosens up a little bit, and a lot of players got in on the scoring action in that second half for Altoona. It's not uncommon for a team to score more in the second half than they did in the first half. You'll see that more often than not, but to have this type of disparity to score just 17 in the first half and then come back and score 37 in the second half is quite the reversal of narrative that you usually do not see. Leading scorers in this game, Ellsworth was led in scoring by Morgan Halverson. She had 16 points, in fact, led all scorers, but Morgan Halverson didn't have much help behind her. For Altoona, Addie Siverling had 15. Her younger sister, Braylon Siverling, finished with 11. And Kennedy Berg with 7. Derek, some other team stats.
Well, from the second half, Altoona was 15 of 27 from the field, 5 of 14 from three-pointers. Ellsworth, 12 of 28, 3 of 10 from three-pointers. I do have Altoona's final shots. Altoona, 23 of 48 in the total game.
Think about that. They finished just under 50% shooting after their struggles in the first half.
And 5 of 17 on three-pointers. Still calculating Ellsworth. As of right now, they had 18 out of, looks to be, 46. So they were 18 for 46 on their shooting.
So under 40% shooting for Ellsworth in this game. Rebounds, Derek?
Rebounds in the second half. Altoona had 4 offensive rebounds as well as 8 defensive rebounds, and Ellsworth had 7 defensive rebounds and 3 offensive rebounds.
With the loss, Ellsworth will drop to 1-3 overall, 0-2 in the conference. Altoona will improve to 3-2 overall and 1-1 in the Middle Borders Conference. Well, Derek, any final thoughts tonight?
Well, Altoona just took advantage of a big run here, and that's what they're going to look to be riding on for the next few games. So I think they're going to look to do that. As far as Ellsworth goes, they're going to try to bounce, try to shake this off, get ready for the next one.
Again, for Altoona, one game doesn't automatically lead to the next game, but you got to figure for a team in which scoring is very much a question mark and nobody knows who to rely on that's going to be able to, right now, don't know who to rely on to get you that big bucket when you need. A game like this goes a long way to helping alleviate some of those concerns, because when you start to have that success, you can go back upon that success. So Altoona, a nice win for them, particularly with how they got that offense going in the second half. Derek, a lot of fun. We got two more months of this ahead of us.
Yep, still a lot more games to come.
So big thanks to Derek Montesano for joining us. Don't forget, everybody, next coverage we have of high school basketball is again girls basketball on Friday night, Eau Claire North against Hudson. Eau Claire North against Hudson on Friday night. That'll be a 7 o'clock broadcast start and a 7:15 tip-off of that one. Well, that'll wrap it up for us here tonight from Altoona High School. Altoona takes down Ellsworth 54-37 in girls basketball action. On behalf of Derek Montesano and everyone who made this broadcast possible, I'm Scott Montesano saying there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until Friday night, so long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this presentation of Eau Claire High School Football from Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap, and Civic Media. For a schedule of other upcoming games, visit echometownradio.com or thetap.fm.
To everybody in the community and in the urban setting, so to speak, you know, in the Minneapolis St. Paul area, it's one of the largest urban native populations in the country, and so it's amazing to see how much richness there is in terms of our ancestral teachings still surviving the test of time. And we know during the winter months, that's oftentimes when certain stories are told. And actually was able to attend a gathering when I was back home at Fort Berthold Indian Reservation, and it was nice. We had clanship stories, and it was nice to share a meal and just be amongst community. And so really looking forward to the event. Zawin Gonzalez, the director of the Learning Center, is helping coordinate the event and also working with all of our different amazing programs underneath the MIWRC umbrella: family services, traditional healing, traditional birthing, Nujimo, and the drop-in center, and also our housing program.
Yeah, maybe you can remind our listening audience why we prefer storytelling in the winter.
Yeah, it's, I know that, different tribal nations or tribes have different meanings or different protocols and things. And so, yeah, I want to be respectful too, because I'm, a visitor in Minnesota. I think different tribes have different protocols, and it's always good to respect those protocols for sure.
I know, kind of like with Ho-Chunk and our longhouse, stories were told because it was cold out, but during the winter, we didn't want to go outside and chop wood,
We have those buffalo hides. No, we were joking, too, about like some of the drafts coming in our doors at the house. We're like, it's time to whip out the buffalo hides.
Shoot. So you touched lightly on it. How was the remainder of your weekend at home in North Dakota with the relatives?
cheese. It was pretty amazing. We have like the next, you know, our future generations are flourishing and, you know, in full swing. You know, we have I got to hold a newborn relative that was just born 3 days. She was born on early Thursday morning. So we got to see her on Sunday on our way through Bismarck, stopped at the hospital there and saw my niece who's doing well, got to hold her 3-day-old baby. Yes. So like my late auntie Hope, it's her great granddaughter. And oh. Then also the night before that, I got to hold a 3-week-old great granddaughter of my uncle's in Mandaree, relatives visiting from Montana. And then, yeah, so I got to hold a granddaughter and a grandson, great granddaughter, great grandson of my aunt and my uncle. So, and then we have more on the way. So we have a set of twins on the way in January and another little one on the way. So our, and they got to see one of my other uncles, another great granddaughter at the Clanship Stories gathering in Newtown. So it's pretty awesome to see our future generations.
Wow. Well, that's a true definition of we're still here.
Yes, for sure. I mean, it's just super thankful to see and witness because, you know, like, yeah, it's just amazing to see and be alive in these times and to see the little ones being, you know, so loved up and nurtured, you know. So, yeah, it's beautiful. Super thankful.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, you mentioned something else earlier, too, about, you know, we have what I've heard reported in my work is over 150 mm-hmm. tribes in the Twin Cities, and we have like 75,000 Native Americans in the 7-county area. You lived here when you were younger. How, what kind of vibe do you feel now compared to then?
Well, first of all, I was single with no dependents. No. I was not single, but I guess, like, you know, when you look at the income reporting demographics boxes categories that you would fit under, that was me. I'm just saying, like.
So was it single and ready to mingle? Is that the one you checked?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Anyways, no, like I was a lot younger, but yeah, we had, I don't know. Yeah, of course, I think times have changed in terms of like crime, but although, you know, the place that I was living at, like the first week there, like kitty corner from the house that I was renting, it was like a sublet in the attic of a big older Victorian house. On Cedar Avenue, but it was like a week or 2 weeks in the house kitty corner from where I was renting or subletting. There was a homicide across, you know, the way. So I was kind of like my, you know, introduction to the neighborhood. But I definitely believe times have changed. I mean, with even how things were, because, you know, I worked at Division of Indian Work, Youth Leadership Development Program, on Lake Street, you know, so I didn't live too far from there, but yeah, I would say the vibe definitely, it just seems there's more, I would say a larger unsheltered Native population. That's what's really, really striking, I think, from between then and now, for sure.
Wow. Hey, we're with Ruth Buffalo. And
you're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Donald Trump's choice for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's return to Capitol Hill today as he faces scrutiny over a wide range of allegations. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
And even a small number, even half a dozen Senate Republicans signal to the Trump team that they can't support Pete Hegseth, then his nomination is going to be in big trouble.
South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol's government has lifted the martial law he imposed as he struggles against an opposition that controls the country's parliament and that he accuses of sympathizing with communist North Korea. The BBC's Laura Bicker in Seoul.
What happens next? Will he stand down or will he be impeached? And that is what these people here are waiting to see.
A Western Pennsylvania woman, while searching for her cat, disappeared. State Trooper Steve Lamont says they think she fell into a sinkhole in Marguerite, 40 miles outside Pittsburgh.
To give you the description of the size of that, the best way I could describe it maybe is the size of about a manhole.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Badgers go up in the rankings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, Wisconsin has gone up a couple of more spots in the AP Top 25 poll, now ranked 11th in the nation. Tonight, the Badgers host the Michigan Wolverines at the Kohl Center. The Bucks are in Detroit to take on the Pistons for an NBA Cup game. Both teams 3-0 in tournament play. NFL, Packers defensive back Jaire Alexander working out with the team, trying to come back from that PCL injury to his right knee. They play the Lions this Thursday night. Matt LaFleur on the next step.
That's why it's important. The practice is so important. We got to see it before we go down that road.
The Packers are 9-3, the Lions 11-1, and in first place in the NFC North Division.
Once you hit December, it's hard not to start to begin to look up a little bit. Like, you can start to smell the playoffs a little bit. You can start to see what's out in front of you, what's at stake. You know you're well within the race. I mean, this is why you're in this business.
That's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're in the Milwaukee area and looking for live holiday entertainment, run, don't walk, to see A Christmas Carol at the Pabst Theater. The Dickens classic is one of the most well-known Christmas stories ever and, as usual, is put on by the Milwaukee Rep. Because of a few harrowing moments, recommended ages are 6 and above, but word on the street is they aren't checking IDs. Tickets start as low as $15, and at those prices, you can't afford not to check it out. You might think being nominated for an Academy Award is a big deal. For most people, it would be, but not Samuel Jackson. Jackson was nominated in the Best Supporting Actor category for his role as Jules in Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction. Jackson told the AP that people barely remember who won, much less who didn't, when it comes to nominations. Jackson did, however, say it would be an honor to win, even though he hasn't had the pleasure yet. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, flurries possible late, then snow showers tomorrow morning with the wind picking up, gusts higher than 30 miles an hour. Temps steady to rising in the 20s tonight, falling tomorrow afternoon. Cold Thursday before warming towards the end of the week into the weekend. Currently it's 26.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we'll catch up with fan favorite Matt Rothschild. We'll talk about Act 10, who should be the new DNC chair, and also, who wants to cut Social Security? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltz here. I am in Coleman 1. U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hi, we are back with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. Welcome back, Ruth.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, wanted to ask you a couple more questions before we let you go. And I just kind of wanted to start out, especially with, are the hopes up high now that Biden has pardoned his son? Is Leonard near next, or what is your vibe on that?
Gosh, I definitely hope that Leonard Peltier will be granted executive clemency by President Joe Biden. That's the hope, and just continuing to push. We're encouraging everybody to push, you know, or to contact their representatives, because, you know, he's an elder. He spent over half of his life behind bars, more than over half of his life, and he's in poor health. And yeah, we just we're still hoping that President Joe Biden will grant executive clemency for our elder, Leonard Peltier.
Yeah, definitely. So, Ruth, appreciate that. I want to always give you the opportunity to speak on anything you'd like to speak on before we let you go. Really appreciate your opinion and what you go and do, and just your knowledge and being a good relative.
Matsugadads, thank you. Yep, at MIWRC, we are hosting a winter market next Friday, December 13th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we're encouraging the public to come out and support your local artists and vendors. So that again is next Friday, December 13th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the community room at MIWRC. Construction has, you know, taken away. It's really the construction, you know, the renovation of the top two floors at MIWRC is moving at a rapid pace. And so there may be some, you know, temporary closures, like for water shutoffs and things that are out of our control. So we're asking for community's patience and understanding ahead of time for some of these, like, you know, unplanned or, you know, just temporary shutdowns that are out of our control due to the construction of the top two floors. We're excited because, you know, construction is moving rapidly, and we're still on schedule for the new units to be opening July of 2025.
Wow. How exciting to see your work come to fruition, and all the people that work there, you know, be able to watch this happen.
Yeah, the staff are amazing. I mean, it's an amazing community, and everybody does such good, great heart work. You know, our staff, we joke and say they're the Care Bears, you know, and they just have such huge hearts, and the work they do is amazing. And we're just so thankful for everybody, and for everybody's patience and understanding to be able to, like, adjust to the changes of, like, temporary shutdowns. Even, like, for example, our staff, too, we had to you know, move into temporary office space within the building, thankfully, but to accommodate the renovation that's moving at rapid pace, for sure.
Awesome. Well, Ruth, we're going to let you go because I understand that you're driving, and I don't want to be a cause of an accident and ask you one of those hard questions.
No problem. Thank you. Matsugadads.
Great to see you. Thanks for all you do.
Likewise.
Right on. Hey, that was Ruth Anna Buffalo. Just an amazing person. And it's fun, too, because over the years I've been, you know, and one thing is, you know, Haley, you've mentioned this, too, is that Ruth's pretty tall. So she's kind of intimidating when you first meet her just by her presence. But she's like such a down-to-earth person, very close to her heart. And we really appreciate her updates and her coming on.
Yeah, really. And her support for Native Roots Radio, and not only just us, but a lot of people in our community, and I'm so thankful that she's here in our Twin Cities now and and not in North Dakota. It's so great to, you know, see people that we have on the show in person, face to face, in community. That really just makes all the connections so much more real. And so thankful that Ruth is in the leadership position that she is in at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Yeah, our friend Nina that listens to the show on Facebook said Ruth is awesome, and we agree. And, you know, we just appreciate everyone's feedback and listening in our live Facebook and YouTube stations, along with Over the Air. And there's a streaming, too, that we're on through AM 950, so you can listen to us live. And I just, the streaming is called TuneIn. I just wanted to say that, too. So if you, I listen to the radio and AM 950 specifically and Civic Media through TuneIn, you know, because I don't have a transistor radio anymore. So I have an iPhone and headphones and unlimited data. So I can listen to it as if it is a transistor radio.
Yeah, there you go. And even better yet, when you use the TuneIn Radio app, it's all live, but you can also find Native Roots Radio on podcasting platforms like Apple Music or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can find any and all Native Roots Radio episodes on there.
Yeah, really good point, too. Really, really good point. And we appreciate it. We roughly do a couple thousand a day of us listening to us on Facebook Live, and we really appreciate people that, you know, maybe don't listen to it live, but listen to it within the 24 hours that we are broadcasting. And that's an amazing, that's a pretty steady number.
Yeah, really grateful for that. I always think it's fun, too, if you get sick of just listening to our voices and you want to see what we look like or what we're wearing that day, head over to Facebook or YouTube. I think we're even, might be still streaming on X, but yeah, our video streams are up on social media as well.
Yeah, we're on X. And also, I'm on Blue Sky, too, if anyone wants to reach out. Native Roots Radio is on Blue Sky. And that's been a big turnover for a lot of people that are jumping off X. We just want to say that, that
that's true.
Check it out.
Yeah, look at you all hip with those new apps.
Yeah, yeah, you know it. What? Yeah, I'm totally grateful and of the process, the station, and also being on Civic Media in Wisconsin. And then we rebroadcast a lot of our shows on local non-commercial shows, and Haley sends those out every week. And we're just grateful. And I know a lot of people hear us on those stations, too.
Yeah, shout out KFAI, KOJB. All of those guys, especially Civic Media stations.
Yeah, definitely. And we're really happy. And it's fun because we can have our relatives, our Ho-Chunk relatives on that are from Wisconsin, talk about issues too, like Arvina and all our friends. We've had the president of Ho-Chunk Nation on. And we're just super stoked about that. Hey, Haley, you were talking a little bit, and I only have a couple minutes there. And I see State Representative Heather Keeler is in the bullpen. And I don't know if Heather, can you shake your head if you can hear us?
She's laughing at us.
Yeah. Well, it's we want to tell you this before we get you on. It's Haley told me that it's Heather Day.
Yeah, it's National Heather Day. So yeah, it's your day, Heather.
Yeah.
It's
well,
pretty special.
Let's put her on real quick. Heather, congratulations on Heather Day.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. So excited to share this day with all the other Heathers in the world.
Yeah.
All the ones I know are pretty amazing.
Well, before we get to your segment, I just want to ask you a question about Heather. And did you ever see the movie Heathers with Winona, Winona Ryder and Christian Slater?
I have not seen it. I've heard a lot about it. I feel like it maybe came out at a time that I wasn't really watching movies. Or like TV shows, or you know what I mean? Like,
it was before
you asked a lot if I was named Heather because of that show. And the truth is, I'm named after the flower Heather. My grandma thought it was one of the most beautiful flowers, and one of the most beautiful color purples. And so it's kind of interesting, I guess, what that name has led me into in my life. And so,
well, how did your grandma know that you were going to grow up to be such a beautiful person?
I mean, I think my grandma maybe knew purple was going to be my favorite color.
Well, I promise too. And then we had a pre-meeting talk to Heather about talking about Heather Day, National Heather Day, but also to stay within the representative area instead of state senator. So I'm going to work on that during the commercial break here.
Yeah, you do that. I feel like this has been a work in progress, but I will say yeah. I think the last couple times I've been on, you've been pretty good at staying in the lane that I want to stay in. Because I tease you, you know, like, don't call me a senator because, like, I just don't want that in the universe. I really like being a House representative because I love the constituents that I'm able to serve. So I love being
in the House. And we do, too. And I just, you know, don't jinx me, you know, that we've been doing good for the last couple times. So. Yeah. Haley will help me. She'll beep me out if I get going on that, won't you, Haley?
I'll try my best.
I've heard you guys' stellar sound effects lately, so maybe we need to start having a sound effect for run like Robert calls me that name.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've manifested things over the years too. Like my Weeha with her twins lives only 8 minutes away, and I've manifested that. I said, you know, the West 7th area is a really nice area, and you can get a big house for good money, and you're right next to us. And what do you know? 3 years later, they live right close to us, so watch out.
And I think it's really cool, like that generational piece. I think that, you know, often we miss the uniqueness of having our family close, and how, like, I lean into my mom a lot with my kids. And I think, you know, not just as help, it's very much a relationship and this generational support system. And I think it's pretty cool that you guys get to do that. And I see that a lot in our communities. And I love that. You know, I love the generational space that we have. We talk a lot about generational healing, not just generational trauma. And I think you manifested a way to really help heal, you know, what next generations look like. And I think when Unchis can be a part of our lives and our grandkids' lives, it's just really better for all of us.
Well, I can't wait. Heather, you're always so great on the radio. We're going to have you back in this next segment. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after the short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
Tom Hartman here to tell you about St. Paul-based All Energy Solar. They've been providing solar energy solutions to customers since 2009. All Energy Solar's professionals will help you through the entire process, from a free site assessment to a custom design that works for your property. Now is the time to go solar. Make a powerful investment by switching to solar energy by visiting allenergysolar.com for your solar quote. That's allenergysolar.com.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
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 Woo!
Hey,
that was pretty good that time.
Yeah, it was the harmony, the three-part harmony was awesome. Hey, we're here with Heather Keeler, Minnesota State Representative, and our friend. We have a lot to talk about. I'm looking at the notes that the producer brought up here, and there's a lot of markets. And before we get into the markets you want to talk about, I just want to remind everybody, as a matter of fact, Wendy's down at the Dayton's in downtown Minneapolis, where Native Roots Trading Post is, and straightening things up and filling up our orders. And so I'm really grateful for her and grateful for everyone coming out there. And then also, we're going to be, Wendy and I are going to be live in Shakopee on the 13th through the 15th at Native Roots Trading Post, selling our wares and telling a few jokes.
Well, are they going to be funny jokes or just jokes?
Dad jokes. I'm old. It's going to be dad jokes. So it depends on where you're, what mood you're in, if you'll like them or not. You know, I can get eye rolls or people laughing. I taught school for 30 years and I had students always say, you know, you're funny. You should be a comedian. And I said, I am. And I got, health care and I work 40 hours a week and I get the summers off. And so, yeah. There was that.
I thought you were going to say you were a teacher, and so you were used to the eye rolls.
Oh, that too. Mm-hmm. That too. Good. That's good. So, Heather, a lot going on, and we like to talk about, like during powwow season, how important it is for people that go out and about and see something native to ask people who made this. And when we go to these markets, we pretty much know.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I think. So Haley and I have actually, when we link up in different places, it's like we always go to the vendors and we always check out like who's where and what's going on. And I look at it as an opportunity to support our relatives, but also to grow our own economics. And I think, during holidays, we're always shopping for people. It seems like that time of year, and it's easy to go to Amazon or jump online and do things. And I really like, we're coming out of Native American Heritage Month. Everybody really loved talking about us then. But now we go into like, what decisions are you making in your life to really support what we do and what we're trying to do, whether it's locally owned businesses, women owned businesses, like going and supporting your friends. But for us, it's our crafts. And I think, some of our bead work is absolutely gorgeous. The amount of time and the talent that people put into that is really unique and wonderful. And so I really lean into reminding people that we have a lot of small businesses within our own community. And we all know people who make things or sell things. Robert, you and your family do that. And so I think it's that time of year where it's really nice to buy your friends and your family gifts, but it's even more important when you support the small businesses that your families and your friends run. It's a thing I've kind of learned being a small business owner and trying to lean into my friends to say, how can you support my business? And that seems to be the hardest market for us to get into. And so, I just want you to remember to support your friends, your family, other people in our community. Haley and I were throwing up some just craft fairs that are happening, or markets that are taking place, cultural events that are happening. Some of our schools or Indian education programs are putting on round dances and powwows with vendors. And so I just wanna, I guess we talk about a lot of things, and sometimes the things that we talk about don't really impact us as a community. And I think shopping and supporting each other absolutely supports the economics of who we are as Indigenous people.
Perfect. And also, I guess, too, one of the things I was kind of trying to bring up, too, is that, when our white allies are out there looking for Native things, ask questions. And then if you are at powwows or round dances or markets, you can buy things if they're for sale. You don't have to ask, but they're there for everyone to buy.
Yeah, I think it's the difference between like cultural appropriation and cultural appreciation. And buying the bead work from the people who do that. We have American Indian art acts that tell us, you know, that like when we have vendor booths or vendors, you know, sign up at powwows, that you really have to prove that you are an American Indian selling this artwork and these crafts, because it's something that is really unique to us. And there are things that people mimic, and, you know, buying things that look like our beadwork from Target is probably not really the way to support who we are. And so I'm with you, like, ask who makes them, ask where they're from, you know, learn a little bit about the story, about the colors that they've picked. You know, sometimes those things have really cool meaning behind them too.
And I know too, beaders, and when we work with our resin, we pray, you know, for everything we put in there and smudge it off. And those are important things. And Native relatives have come up and asked us if we've done that, and that's good too, because that is the right way to do it. And you know, one of the things I always bring up too, we're at the state fair too, and I know state representative, you can't make it because it's kind of a tricky time for you and your children or your kids or your son, mm-hmm. because they're going to college and going back to school. But there was a lot of, when we got into the fair, there was a lot of quote unquote Native inspired work out there. Yeah. And really that just means Native stolen.
Yeah. That's kind of always bothered me, because it's like, there's different parts of our culture that people want to lean into, and then there's other parts that they want to stay away from. And it's just like, you can't just take the beautiful parts of who we are and then turn around and sell that for profit, because the way that we make things and the reason why we make things, and again, the economics of it is so important. And I think, like, we try to lowball our friends, we try to get deals on medallions, and it's like the work and the time that people put into that is so real and so valuable. And so don't take away the value from the people who are doing it, and then don't mimic or degrade the talent, you know, that our people have really created.
You know, the original reason why we started Native Roots Trading Post too was to get artists out there that, you know, are making a fair market price for, let's say, their paintings. Now, if you need diapers or something, you might sell your painting for $15, where really it's a $150 painting. And we want to get away from that. And we really want to support artists and their true value.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we're kind of talking a lot about, you know, life after the pandemic. And, you know, when you went to powwows and stuff before, like the vendor booths, one, there were more of them. And I feel like their inventory was just so robust that really fell off for a while, because in a market that it was so in-person type of sales, it really changed. And I'm seeing kind of a pickup back in bringing artists back out and, you know, building inventory to be able to sell. But I think too, like we're really seeing people lean into the digital selling space. And, you know, there's like different people are selling things on sites online, but that comes with its own risk too. So, you know, if you are a seller or a vendor, be an honest vendor, you know, because like if somebody orders stuff from you and they don't get it in the mail, that starts to create this bigger issue of trust within our own people as well. And so, you know, it's a responsibility for us as the purchasers and the supporters to lean in and buy from our people. But then it's important that those who are selling the products, you know, do a really good job at getting it out to the people as well. And that's what economics is all about. It's a cycle of demand and need, and doing it in a good way collectively together. And I think we can take charge of some of our own economics by supporting each other.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, will prices of things we eat be going up? We talk to Darren Von Ruden coming up tomorrow at 11:06. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS